services, Lavazzi at boom1.co.uk present the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 275. I'm Adam and Dodo, be careful, Liz. What's the name again? Oh yeah, Deborah Melrose.
Do I get a second turn for a six?
Mary Lang.
I'll never be able to look at a doll or playing card again without it, with an easy mind.
And Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
It's so easy this time, you know, because you see, you'll be playing against me.
And this week we're looking at the Celestial Toymaker. Hello, everyone. We're all rushed and tired and what have you. Yes, I am tired. Yes, I have been up for 4 hours, but I am tired for one reason or other.
I've been up for about weird work 15 minutes.
Weird working hours this week.
Me too.
I did a late and an early. And I've got to drive up to Newcastle on Sunday. So I got to start at 5:30 in the morning, finish at 1:30 in the afternoon, catch the 2:30 ferry, and then drive up to Durham, which is a 6 hours drive on the mainland, late at night. So I'm going to be a bit tired by the time it comes to photographing the wedding the next day.
The mainland? You're going to France?
So anyway, as I was saying, I'm going to try and have to
for good reason.
Unfortunately, the Rob Lansdowne, I think it was, that provided us with the files for this particular story. Unfortunately, I don't play on the Mac, so I had to watch it on the internet. Anyway.
It doesn't play on the Mac? You mean the Mac is not the all-purpose perfect computer?
It would have played on the Mac if I had time to use my file conversion program, but I didn't. So, to slightly paraphrase, we saw at the end of the last story the Doctor, Dodo and Stephen in the TARDIS with the Doctor sort of phasing and fading in and out. They land, Ian instantly knows they're under attack, but then we very quickly find out it's from the Celestial Toymaker, who's a bit of a Q. That's a Star Trek reference.
Yes.
Yeah, he's bored.
So you can see where Star Trek got the idea for that
later
from.
He becomes employed by Bruce Wayne, so.
Yes, very good. So, and he's also married to Annika Wills, or as the Flashing Blade podcast like to call her, Anik Wills.
Yes.
I wonder if Siobhan Galachon's ever actually called Annika Wills Anik to her face.
What was that about?
Well, it's either Siobhan or Dave that called her Anik. But they've obviously met her. I wonder if they've actually called her that to her face. Like the people that call Toby Haydo, that's the now defunct Podshock, used to call Toby Haddock, Toby Haddock or Hadoki or something weird.
Some kind of a fish.
Yeah.
I thought Haddock was the captain from Tintin.
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
I just watched that movie.
Slight Doctor Who connection there.
Screenplay by Stephen Moffat.
That's what I just said. Co-founder of the show. Why are you walking through holding a duvet?
Tomorrow, so I'm
practicing
my car.
She's practicing her car.
Okay, thank you.
I'm packing my car for it.
Yes, goodbye.
Bye.
Good morning.
She's referring to the fact that she's going to the festival, which is a music festival in the Isle of Wight, featuring Duran Duran, and I'd like to see Duran Duran. Back to the story.
We haven't even started talking about the story.
We have started because they've landed. And very quickly that they get separated, the Doctor ends up in a sort of little playing area with the Celestial Toymaker and very quickly gets relieved of his acting duties for most of the story by being turned into...
Yeah, for two and a half episodes?
This is the longest he's not acting for in a Doctor.
And there's absolutely no challenge with the Trilogic game. It's extremely easy, just tedious.
Yeah, I mean, even if the Doctor isn't working it, they can make the computer work it.
I don't think the fact that it's the challenge of the Trilogic game, it's the jeopardy involved in it, as is with all the games that the characters are to play in this particular story. So while the Doctor's started his Trilogic game, Stephen and Dodo are given a few little games.
Basic games,
to play with. The first.
Yes, where they're challenged by, interestingly, a clown named Clara.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah,
I thought that was quite interesting.
You would have thought that she would have helped them a little better. Maybe she doesn't like other companions.
There you go.
Through the Doctor's time stream.
So that's basically episode one is them just playing around, sort of trying to find those fake TARDISes, isn't there, allegedly. And they go through the game. At the end of the game, they get a fake TARDIS, but they hope it's the real one. I can't remember the game that they did in episode one. I know you mentioned that Clara the Clown was there, but I can't remember the game. Debbie, can you remember the game?
It's hard to remember this particular game because we can barely see it with just still pictures. It's kind of boring to listen to. This particular game works.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, just see it properly.
Yes. Okay. Well, that's something.
This is one I hope they discover, because I'd love to see how these games work. Yeah.
Like a bit when there was lots of music, when things were obviously happening, like dancing, and all you were getting were the still of the dolls.
Well,
that was episode three.
Mm.
Yeah. This game was all those. Like jumping on blocks and following
swinging between things.
Yeah, but they had to do it blindfolded.
Indeedy. So everybody seems to have forgotten the game from episode one, so it can't have been particularly enthralling. The Jeopardy at the end of episode one, I seem to remember there being someone was threatened with death, or
playing Jeopardy.
Shut up! But the fact is,
four
that
legs,
we've
no
do,
feet, of arms, no lack, quiet. It carries no burden on its back.
We do find out that if Stephen and Dodo fail in their
make notes
games, they're turned
sometimes into
dolls, and that they will live their life out as dolls for the rest of existence. So I can't remember the cliffhanger for episode one. Episode two, the Doctor is still just a hand, which is not actually his hand. It's not Hartnell's hand, obviously. It's just a hand, just doing these trilogic movements.
I read somewhere of who provided the hand for when Hartnell wasn't there, but I don't remember.
Well, nor do
because
I.
It's 5:10 in the morning.
Maybe that's a good thing.
I think episode two sort of that glossed over me a little bit, because it was a lot of the same sort of thing. They're meeting these weird characters played by the same actors in some instances. Carmen Silvera, I believe, was in Heidi High and a few other things. She was.
This is the one with the chairs.
Was it with the chairs?
Playing cards, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the chairs and playing cards.
Yeah.
When we suddenly segue into Alice in Wonderland for the rest of the
year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, evil Queen of Hearts, yeah.
Oh, now you remind me of the Queen of Hearts. Yeah, sorry, yes.
It did make me go back and watch the Disney film days ago.
Oh, good.
Cool.
Alice in Wonderland.
Yeah, I saw the King and Queen of Hearts and thought, where's Alice in Wonderland? But I thought it was just a sort of bring these characters into the story just for the sake of it sort of thing. But they get through that one, and then they end up, I believe, in a doll's house, and we meet a cook and a soldier that seem to have a bit of a fancy for each other, but can't seem to admit it.
Yeah. There was an unspoken.
Yeah,
lust
unspoken
going on
lust.
There,
yes.
There?
Wow, we're moving.
I know, because I can't remember any of it, Kirby.
Huh?
I can't remember any of it.
It's not an interesting episode.
Just flashbacks between them.
Yeah, they spend the whole episode trying to work out which chair's not going to kill you.
Yeah.
Episode two, yes. And of course, they spend episode three looking for a key.
The toy maker makes occasional appearances saying, oh, you must not break the rules, blah, 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 and then he'll disappear. And they'll find that they get to the end of the game, they find a fake TARDIS. Yes, I'm going through it quite quickly because I can't remember it. But episode four, which is the one we still have from the archive, is a bit easier to follow. And the one I remember the best, because we have Cyril, the very, very old schoolboy.
The hunter.
Oh, he's been hanging around before, but so we couldn't really see him.
He does play the part very well. But, yeah, it's very Billy Bunter, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't
they get sued for that?
Yeah, they'd gone too close to his character and the BBC got sued for it.
Oh, right, did they? Oh, dear.
Yeah.
But I noticed that also this particular thing, they had the dice and they had the digital dice on the thing. They're totally pointless because the dice themselves actually show they don't have to have it on the wall. Throw the number, just call out, say what it is. You don't have to see it up on the wall, do you? Nevertheless, they did it because it was supposed to be slightly science fiction-y.
They didn't cheat, apparently. That's what he justifies it with at the beginning.
Yeah, but I did like the way that obviously they get through the game and he gets his comeuppance by forgetting that he's sprinkled stuff on the triangle.
He's cheated, yes.
Yes. And Dodo keeps on forgetting and having, you know, near accidents throughout the whole story. And Stephen keeps on telling her to be careful. And then, and then they do find the TARDIS and it's because they know it's a real one because it hums and the Doctor wins his, sort of nearly wins his game. And then they sort of cheat the toy maker out of existence. And it was a bit weird, the ending, because so one minute they're saying, well, you can't play the last move and then dash into the TARDIS, you won't have time. And then the Doctor uses some sort of psychokineticness, does he, to do his final move?
He imitates the toy maker.
Oh, the voice. That's
the toy maker, yeah.
Yes, it didn't sound like it, though.
It made perfect sense.
Oh, did it? Okay.
He explains it in great detail afterwards, if you didn't get the fact that he'd imitated his voice.
Okay, but when he actually did it, I didn't pick up.
He didn't imitate it very well.
Yeah, I didn't pick up it at all.
So I had to be told that he did, okay.
Yeah, exactly. For me, it didn't sound like the toy maker's voice.
That's why I had to do it twice,
Yeah.
Yeah, because they used Michael Gough's voice.
This is what makes it weird. Anyway, so they and then they get away. Right, okay. So that's essentially it. Sorry, but if you want to fill in any of the gaps I made.
He'll meet the toy maker again in the future. So I'm looking forward to that.
Well, it's in Big Finish. Big Finish.
Yes, and he does in Big Finish.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh. Yes. Oh.
Well, this is the Big Finish.
It's the ultimate foe. It's the one where they go to.
With Peter Purvis.
The one that's supposed to follow. Which one is it now? The Dalek story. The Baker Dalek story, which is something beginning with R. Revelation. There you go. Revelation of the Daleks, the next story, which would have been.
Oh, yes.
Would have been the Celestial Toymaker story in Blackpool.
There's a little 2-minute follow up to this with Peter Purvis.
Oh, yes.
And he talks about how the Toymaker was supposed to come back in a story in 1985.
Yes, that was it.
The Colin Baker Doctor.
That's what I just said.
Yes, that's what he just said.
It's called The Nightmare Fair.
Yes, that's the one. That's the one that was supposed to follow Revelation of the Daleks, and it is. It's a Big Finish story.
Well, the Big Finish story is called The Nightmare Fair.
I believe so.
Because it's one of their lost stories. And,
yes.
It's very good.
Yeah, I've heard it. Yeah, it's quite good. It's got a very atmospheric. But as far as this story goes, it's not particularly good. Not really.
I liked it.
Be quiet. I'm not really that keen on this sort of ultra sort of fantastical. Was that a word, Debbie? You're a boffin.
I don't think so, but
if it isn't, you've just made it up.
But does it make sense?
It makes French.
Oh, I say French makes French. Okay, that's right. Fantastical. How's that? Is that a word?
Sure, that's better.
Really fantastical.
Yes. No, I'm not overly keen on these sort of slight dreamy-like stories. Don't mind them, but find them a bit. Bleh.
Are you going to say that when we get around to one of the best of this kind of story with the Second Doctor?
Well, the Time Meddler. I mean, the Mind Robber. No, I'm not that
Mind
keen.
Robber.
I'm not overly keen on that one, to be fair. It's okay. I do enjoy it, but I'm not overly keen on that type of story. But I say with this one, I just wish we did have the live action episodes because I'm not saying that the reconstruction wasn't very good, but it just wasn't that easy to sort of stick with. It wasn't the worst thing ever. It certainly isn't as bad as Gunfighters or quite a few Hartnell stories that I could think of.
No.
But it's okay. We had a story. Was it last week's story that was a bit middling? Hello? What's the cat say about it?
No, it's my cats. They want to go outside. It's way too early.
Last week was okay. Last week was the Ark.
So which was the middling one? The one before, wasn't it?
I think it was the one before, which I couldn't stand at all.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the Massacre of St. Bartholomew.
Yeah, so that was middling. I'd say this is sort of halfway between not very good and middling. But, you know, I'm glad that we've got to watch it and actually get to see it all. And I did like some of the portrayals and the slight comedy element to it.
But as I've said before, I love the fact that you have given me an opportunity to watch what there is of all of these.
Yes, I'm glad I've given me the opportunity to do so too. So anyway, as to sum up, yeah, it's okay. Not a sort of between poor and middling. So that's poor to middling, isn't it? And Debbie, I'd say. So I'm going to pass over to you now. I've had my say.
What, me?
Yeah, you are you, aren't you?
Yes, I am me. Yes, yes. I'm me too. Are you you? I would have appreciated seeing it if it could ever possibly be found. It would be brilliant because I'd like to revisit it, because just looking at stills while they're obviously playing a very physical game was quite hard work. And I did watch these quite late in the evening each time, but it was a case of, oh, come on, let's have some dialogue. I understand the beeps all mean one for left, right, one for two for left, three, four, three stop, four go. But it was just getting to the point where I was sat there with my headphones just listening to beeping and zoning out, unfortunately. So I rewatched episode one again, and then I carried on with all of them straight away. And I enjoyed the story, but again, I felt it was too long, obviously, with just the pictures. I felt that they could have possibly condensed it down a bit to just get the story across in a better way. But it had great ideas, but it did feel like we went down the rabbit hole and didn't quite come out the other end properly at the end of it all, because we're just jumping straight into the next story, obviously. But it's I didn't hate it, but I didn't really go for it like I did with the Ark and a few other stories. It was great to see a new character and him interacting with someone as clever as himself, but then again, he wasn't really interacting, because they shut him up and just had a hand. So it would have been a bit more interesting if they'd had a bit more dialogue between them rather than, William Hartnell going on holiday. But that's all I can really say about it. There were some really good ideas, but I long to see this one, fully restored and being able to watch the game properly.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Debbie. Oh, I can hear myself. Kirby, that's the one. Kirby, what do you think?
Yes, I guess I liked it a little better than the rest of you guys. I didn't fall asleep during any of it. I enjoyed listening. I can't really call that watching. and the last episode I really enjoyed quite a bit. So
it was moving, wasn't it?
Yes, to be able to see something for a change. Yeah, I've got the Lost in Time DVD, and it's been really nice to be able to see those few episodes that are on it. Fortunately, this is the last of the episodes that are on that Lost in Time DVD. I liked it.
Okay. Thank you, Kirby. Mary.
No, I found it just incredibly tedious. It took me several days and a lot of talking to myself
to go back and watch
episodes 3 and 4 after being so bored with 1 and 2. And what's unfortunate, I think, is we have these stories that are like all reconstructions, and most of them just fascinate me and make me wish that we could see, them restored. Like Marco Polo and the massacre. And
Marco.
I would love to see them just because they look like they might be really good.
I'm sure they are.
We do get the Ark, which is, oh, Lord, we really don't need to see that. And this one, which I don't really care if they ever restore it. I can't imagine it can.
No, I think if they find it'd be better as a story that is back in the archive, to be fair, it would definitely be better. But not. I wouldn't say it'd still be one of the best stories ever because of that.
Yeah. But then I thought about being a child at this time and watching this, being, 6 or 7 or 8 years old, and the whole idea of toys being so wicked, and the cheating of the fat schoolboy and all that, which I think are real nightmare things for young kids. And I think this was probably a very frightening episode for young
Woody
kids.
And Buzz gone bad.
So for the sake of the children that watched it, it must have been very horrifying to watch this episode. I would have very nightmare images from it if I were a kid. So for them, it probably was very interesting. But from my perspective, you know, and again, it may just be that it was the pictures, but somehow I don't think that's all it. It was pretty tedious. Yeah, and I already mentioned the thing about the Big Finish lost story called The Nightmare Fair, that where the toy maker comes back. I'm real meh. I would rather watch this again than watch The Gunfighters, but
yeah, me too.
But that's what
did they get Michael Gough back for that one?
What, Nightmare Fair?
Yeah,
I don't know. Mary, did they get Michael Gough back?
No. Okay. No, they didn't.
I think he died a bit before then, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Probably. So, a general consensus is that it wasn't that good, but it was nowhere near the worst. There we go. That's the Celestial Toy Maker. We have feedback.
Captain Kirk.
Hello, 20 Megawatt Podcast, this is Ian Kirk. The Celestial Toy Maker by Brian Hills. The Doctor says his temporary invisibility is some sort of attack.
No, it's a holodeck.
Well, it was an attempt to get rid of Hartnell by having the Doctor reappear with a new face as a new actor.
Ooh!
Dodo has no fixed accent as it regenerates from...
What's the matter, Doctor? I couldn't see anything on the screen.
...to...
Can't be as simple as that, can it?
She has a skimpy outfit. Now that Innes Lloyd is producer. Not as skimpy as a Roddenberry outfit, though. The toy maker wears Chinese clothes. But as he does not have the accent, I do not think it is racist to have a white actor. Not like some say of Talons and Wen Chiang. The Trilogic game is the Towers of Hanoi game. With 10 pieces... The minimum number of moves is 1,023.
Well, there you go.
One less than 2 to the power of 10.
Yes.
There are online versions available.
And they're tedious.
Yeah, like this.
The Doctor says infer, when he should say imply. Carmen Silvera later became famous in a TV comedy, Amo Amo. I shall say this only once.
Careful, Ian.
Hartnell had a holiday while the Doctor was invisible. There was a series of novels about a boarding school with a boy called Billy Bunter, as popular as Harry Potter is now. The BBC got into trouble because Cyril was an unlicensed copy of him. She did well to be able to play hopscotch in those heels.
Yes, yeah, she did.
She could have ended up dead as a dodo. Lewis Carroll wrote a book where Alice... meets human playing cards, as the companions do in this story. His real name was Dodgson, and he was sometimes called Dodo, because of a stammer. Kirby has noticed the female clown's name is the same as the Impossible Girl, and we might get some clarification.
You like your puns, Kirby.
I wonder if we have time to review the next story. I know a song about that one.
Oh, please.
My USB microphone is working again. There was a hard-to-fix problem with my computer operating system. The crackling noise last week was caused by an unused USB lead touching a large piece of metal. This is my 200th audio.
Hey!
Starting with episode 68. I missed a few because they were specials.
Well, I'm glad you were keeping count, Ian.
Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. This is 200th audio, everyone. That deserves a round of applause.
Wow.
That's almost as many as I've done. Oh, no, it's not. Almost as many as Kirby's done them. And certainly more than Ben or Matthew or Reese have done.
Well, me.
I did text Matthew. Apparently, he's still asleep.
Did we get any feedback from Andy?
No, we didn't.
No, he sent his apologies, though.
Okay. Apology accepted, Mr. Nunny.
Hang on, I'm just going to get up his message because he's asked us to discuss something.
Oh, thank you, Debbie.
Sorry, no feedback sorting out the nursery. It was pretty good, though. One thought. There is a rumour that this would be the regeneration story.
It was,
discuss.
Yes.
Ian discussed that.
Yes. Mm. But yes, so I had forgotten that fact. But yes, it would have been... Obviously, Hartnell talked his way back into the series for a little bit longer, didn't he? But this, I think, would have probably been a better regeneration or better explanation. But if they'd done it this way, we wouldn't have a regeneration, would we?
Mm.
What, are you dissing 10th Planet?
No, I think... I don't know, actually. I'll reserve my opinion of 10th Planet once we've watched it. Okay?
That's going to be sometime this winter.
Yes, because, listeners,
going, won't it?
This is the last in the current series of The Journey. The Journey will return in about 13 weeks' time.
Oh, we're not going to do the Gunfighters? We have time.
No, we don't.
No, we don't.
We don't have time to do the Gunfighters simply because of my very busy schedule, which I will explain immediately. Today, as we record, I just knocked my knuckle, that really hurt. Today is the 9th of September. This weekend, I will be in Newcastle.
And what was yesterday, by the way?
The 8th of September.
Yes, the 49th anniversary of what?
Whatever happened 49 years ago?
The first episode of Star Trek was broadcast on American television, but
well,
still.
There you go. Thank
Hooray!
You for that.
Go over to my wall if you want to see what a crazy
I saw that.
Kind of fan I was when I was a teenager.
I'll have to have a look at that later, Kirby. But anyway, as I was saying, this weekend I'm driving up to Newcastle-Plontine to photograph a family wedding, and we're coming back on Sunday, so I won't be back early enough to record anything on Sunday.
Ah,
what?
We could record Monday morning.
Kirby is right. We could essentially record on Monday morning. The trouble is I won't have a chance to watch the story between now and then. Hence, we can't do it.
Okay.
And then...
I suppose.
And then we have the new series of Doctor Who, which begins on the 19th, and we are scheduled to record on the 20th. So how I'm going to watch that twice within that space of time, I do not know. But that is what Kirby wanted. I mean, what we have planned.
I didn't put that schedule together. Someone else did.
Okay. Well, then that's what we're going to attempt to start off with. So the podcast will go on hiatus for a week and a half. So
8 p.m. on the 20th.
That's what we've got scheduled, yes. That's when we will begin
the
new series 9 of Doctor Who. We mean yay, thank you. What does that mean?
Well, it means doing it Sunday instead of, you know, crack of dawn Monday morning.
I'm very tired.
Do you only get to... would you prefer to do it on Sunday, then? That's what she said. Sorry, I had work one in there. Something. Oh, never mind.
Isn't that when we're doing it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, never mind.
I think he was trying to make a joke.
I was attempting to.
I'm not awake enough to catch that.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
5:31.
Yes, it is.
No sign of Matthew.
No, he wouldn't be. He wouldn't though, would he? Right, hang on, I need to...
Didn't really expect him.
It's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One.
Oh, Debbie will.
Yes, and I've just got to slightly move my microphone, so I've got somewhere...
Is this going to be our shortest episode ever?
No, because our shortest episode. Me and Alicia used to record shows that would fit into the 20-megabyte bracket.
20 megabytes, I know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm just writing names down.
No, I meant of our current way of recording.
We haven't finished it yet, Kirby.
We haven't?
No, we're still recording.
I know.
So you can't... sort of predict yet whether this is going to be a short episode or not yet.
How many questions have you produced?
I'm not telling you that one. That's a little thing for you to look forward to. The dog is outside the door barking to get in. She's not coming in because I can't be bothered to get up and let her in.
Oh,
she's only going to come in and then, because she probably thinks there's people in here. This is why she's trying to get in. When she'll come in and realise there's no one here. She probably thinks Debbie's in here, to be precise, because she can hear Debbie's voice.
Oh, the sucker's there. I was she'll throw that. That
sorry, what did you say then?
The sucker.
Oh, sorry.
S-U-C-K-E-R. American for lollipop.
Yeah, okay. Right, the first question goes to Debbie.
Yep.
Who did Dodo think was to blame for the Doctor's vanishing? Oh, that's a wrong quiz, sorry. Hang on.
No, it's the right quiz, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. That is the right quiz.
The repetitions.
Correct, sorry. I got myself confused there.
How could you confuse that?
Yes, I saw the refusions in the answer and thought, hang on, that's a previous story. Mm. Oh. Right, Mary.
Yes.
What did Dodo think of their new surroundings, according to the script?
Of their new surroundings?
Yes.
Oh, I don't know.
Ooh, got a point. Anybody?
No.
As Kobe says no. Debbie's not saying anything, so I presume it's Excellent. The answer was dead boring.
Oh, I was going to say boring. I didn't know what she said.
Well, you would have got half a point for that.
Yeah, me neither.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
What was the distinctive feature of the clown that had pushed Stephen over?
He was sad.
Well, I shouldn't be huffing. I've got a point for that one. Anybody?
What?
He couldn't talk?
Oh, I'm doing really well. No, it's because he was male with a hat, or he just had a hat, basically. He's the one that had a hat. The other one didn't have a hat. That was a distinctive feature.
Okay.
The fact that he was a sad clown versus Clara, who was a wasn't happy distinctive. Clown,
no,
was
sorry.
Also a distinctive feature. I deserve that point.
No, you don't. Debbie?
Yes?
How many white stripes were on the front of Stephen's sweater? Oh, God, she's going to look at the picture now.
What? Whoa.
Two?
Oh, my goodness. I'm doing so well. Anybody?
You're being deliberately sneaky.
Anybody?
Yes, he is.
Pardon, Mary?
None.
Oh, dear. Excellent. The answer was three. Right,
I said three. I almost said that.
We should have done.
But I thought it was a trick question.
It wasn't. Mary. I mean, yeah, it is you, isn't it? Mary.
Yeah.
What is the title of Stephen and Dodo's quest?
The title of their quest?
Yes.
I don't know.
the toy maker says it to them. In the script, he says. Okay. Another point for me. Doing really well here. Anybody else?
Is it Hunt for the TARDIS?
Oh, eventually somebody gets there.
Is that Yay! The first? Is that the first
point? Word for word? The
yeah,
Hunt
might
for the
be
TARDIS.
The first point of the game. Yeah.
I wrote it down.
Right, Kirby.
Master.
Oh, I think you might get this one. What was the name of the female clown?
Clara.
Oh, that one nearly fell off the mount there.
Finally.
Hey, I think that gives me 2 points versus Debbie's one.
Right, so our current scores, after those rounds of questions, in last place with no points, it's Mary. In third place with 2 points, it's Kirby. In second place with 3 points, it's Debbie. And in the lead with 7 points, it's me.
Yeah, that was about time, too. Right,
oh, that's right.
Right then, Debbie.
Well done, Adam.
Debbie.
Yep.
When can the Doctor next speak after has his voice taken away?
Can't speak until second to last move.
That is the correct answer. Right, Mary.
Yes.
I've lost where I was. Oh, yeah. What did the King and Queen of Hearts call Stephen and Dodo? Obviously, Debbie knows this one because she's laughing.
Oh. Looking. Still looking to see if I wrote that down.
I didn't.
Yeah, well, I guess I didn't because I don't find it.
Point for me. Debbie?
Peasants.
Okay.
Found that particularly amusing.
Kirby.
Hmm?
How many deadly sisters
master?
Were... Pardon?
Wait. I said... I didn't have a chance to do a master.
Okay. How many deadly sisters were there?
Deadly sisters? Oh, six.
Debbie.
Yes.
How many hearts were on the Queen's hat?
Jeez. This is a costume quiz.
Apparently.
Pardon, Debbie?
Three.
Four.
5.
Oh, damn, sorry, I just knocked the microphone. It's Kirby, Demir, you got it right. But unfortunately, there weren't any points left to get it right with. It was 5, yes, Kirby said 4, and that's right.
Too little, too late.
Yes, indeed. Whose question is it now? Is it Mary's?
Well, that was Debbie's question.
Yeah, so it's Mary's question.
Yeah.
What happened when Dodo threw a doll into a chair?
It vibrated.
That's what she said.
No, anybody?
Was it electrocution?
It was. Yes, the cat agrees.
There was a lot of that in this story, wasn't there?
My cats are very interested in that noise, I must say. All three of them are looking at the computer.
Right, Kirby.
do you suppose that if we actually had the footage, that it would have been as gruesome as Cyril?
Probably just a little bit of smoke.
Probably.
And a buzzing noise. Yeah, the cat agrees. Right, Kirby.
Master.
What chair did Sodo? What chair did Frodo? No, what chair did Dodo sit in?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
It's 5:40 in the morning.
Anybody?
No one else remembers either.
For me. Yeah, good. If I give you a clue, you won't get any points for it, but let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, I was going to say the freezing chair, but I thought you meant what number.
Yeah, I thought you meant right. No,
it was a freezing chair. That's why... God's sake. You should have answered then. You should have had a guess.
Never mind.
Never mind, indeed. Right, then Mary... Debbie.
Yeah, I was looking for the number. I couldn't remember Debbie. The number.
Debbie?
Yes?
How many dancing dolls appeared at the end of episode 2?
3.
I know.
I never get those questions.
Mary.
Yeah, me too.
Mary.
Yes.
Whose kitchen did Stephen and Dodo visit?
Mrs. Riggs.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to click on that. That was an accident.
You just knew I'd get it wrong.
No. I was just queuing it up for the next incorrect answer, but that was correct.
Well,
yes.
It's Mary's turn. She'll get this wrong.
No. That was right. Yes. Yeah, it was 3. Kirby.
Master.
What did Rug think Stephen needed?
I don't remember.
Anybody?
A smack?
I'll give you that one. It was a good hiding in the script, but I'll give you that one. So the scores are in last place with 2 points, Mary. In third place with 4 points, Kirby. In second place with 10 points, Debbie. And in the lead with 14 points, me.
That doesn't count.
Oh, he's relishing this.
Yes, I am. Right then, the next question goes to Debbie. What time was it on the cuckoo clock? You won't get this one.
Oh, whoa.
You're right.
4 o'clock.
Excellent. Anybody?
12 to 2.
Midnight?
Excellent. No, this time was 9 o'clock.
A.M. or P.M.?
Mary.
Yes.
What, according to Rug, do soldiers never do because it's a rule?
Oh, yeah.
Cry.
I know.
Oh, Kirby knows.
He hates to lose.
Interesting one.
Yep. Apologize.
You should have said that before Kirby said the wrong answer, Debbie, then, shouldn't you?
Said
yes, it
I
was.
I know, so I let him have it.
She was madly reading through her notes.
No, I didn't write that one down.
Oh, okay, well.
Debbie.
Are we impressed?
Debbie.
Oh, it was Cyril who hates to lose.
Debbie.
Yes?
Right. What did Stephen say Cyril would feel if he tried the electrocution hand gag again?
Back of his hand?
Ooh.
Oh.
Mary.
Very British expression, feel the back of my hand.
Oh, okay.
Mary, what was the first game Cyril played with Stephen and Dodo? In fact, the only game, in fact.
Yeah, really. Hopscotch to the
Specific. I was waiting for the word. TARDIS hopscotch, yes.
TARDIS hopscotch.
Yes.
Finally, one that I can answer.
Yeah. Kirby.
Master.
What did Dodo first throw with her dice? What number?
3.
Yeah.
That was a guess from 1 to 6.
Okay, right. This is a couple of spare questions here.
Oh.
Right. This is, the first question would be a double question. Okay. So you will double your points if you get it right. Yes? And I'll tell you what happens with the second question in a minute. Right. So here, this is the double question. What did Cyril do to make Dodo scream?
Oh, I know.
Go on then, Mary.
Put on the gorilla mask.
Yay!
Which therefore
Yay!
Doubles your score.
Mary wins.
And the last question is a double or nothing score. Double or nothing question, sorry. So obviously if you get it right, you double it. If you get it wrong, you get nothing. Your points are deleted.
That only bumped me up a little farther from the bottom.
And the cat agrees with me. So here we go. Last question. You ready?
Yes.
What was the last number Cyril threw?
I think I know.
Go on then, Debbie.
A 5.
Is the correct answer, which
Debbie
therefore...
Beaten Adam.
Okay, right. So the
Good.
Final
Someone
scores are...
Give him the back of your hand.
Yeah, in last right. place with 6 points, Kirby. In third place with 8 points, Mary. In second place with 18 points, me. And the winner this week, as usual, for 24 points and saving it at the death, it's Debbie.
I do. I'll be better when we do the gunfighters.
Just made it there, Debbie, just at the last minute.
Why can't we do the gunfighters? I'll do real good on the gunfighters. I like the gunfighters.
We will eventually do the gunfighters.
Kirby, you'll be the only one to watch it.
I've watched it several times.
We'll do it eventually. Okay, right. Doctor Who News. The Doctor Who Festival update, which is quite an interesting one for me specifically. I'm not necessarily sure about Debbie yet, because we haven't worked out whether she's going or not.
Okay. You let me know.
I would like to let you know. Anyway, BBC Worldwide have announced additional guests for the London Doctor Who Festival taking place in November. Writer and actor Mark Gatiss will be appearing on the Friday of the three-day event. Now, Mark Gatiss is also on Who Do You Think You Are, which hasn't been broadcast yet, so I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Yeah.
Last week's Who Do You Think You Are was really, really good. That Derek Jacobi one, wow, was that good.
That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Wow, that was so interesting. And what an interesting and lovely man he is.
Leaving France, I love that.
I didn't even know he was gay. I know he plays a gay character in Vicious, but I really like him.
He's obviously
actor.
Connecting to the show because he was Martha.
Yeah, I do like... Derek Jacobi is one of my all-time favourite actors. I think he's just so fantastic.
For my Clab Dibs, I remember him best.
Anyway, segued slightly there. Also joining the lineup will be Nicholas Briggs, voice of Daleks and Big Finish Stalwart, as well as presentations from Real SFX Limited and Millennium FX. Now, I've lined up a photographic meeting with Nicholas Briggs so I can actually apologise to him face-to-face. So that should be quite interesting. Meet the cast panel-led session featuring the Doctor himself, Peter Capaldi, and stars of the latest series, Michelle Gomez and Ingrid Oliver. Meet the writers, led by Stephen Moffat, and featuring the Series 9 writers, including Mark Gatiss, on Friday only. Well, thanks for that. I'm there on Saturday. Special effects supervisor Danny Hargreaves, very interesting man. Meeting him for a photographic session as well, and his team at SFX reveal the tricks of the trade and live show. Hope it's not the same tricks they did 2 years ago, but...
Probably.
where they blew up a Dalek and did something to a Cyberman. Millennia, I might have taken a video camera this time, so I didn't. I took a stills camera last time, didn't really film it, so I should really have took a video camera. So I'll try and remember to do that this time. Millennium FX reveal.
Rule number one, always take a camera.
I took a camera, but did I not just say that? I just took a stills camera, for God's sake. And me of recording.
Wait, you didn't have a phone with you?
Yeah, my phone hasn't got a lot. It's only an 8 gigabyte thing, so it's never got enough space to film much on it. Anyway, Millennium FX reveal their trade secrets as they show how a monster is created from beginning to briefing stages to the creation itself. The display of costumes and props featured
it's probably
in the
going to be the mummy
series. Might be. Experience a day in the life of a production member. Try your hand at a variety of jobs that go into producing a series of Doctor Who, which I probably could do if I went to the thing on my own, but highly unlikely I'm going to be able to do that with She Must Be Obeyed.
So when is this? November? Are we going to be done with the next series by then, or right close to the end?
I reckon it's either done or it's going to be close to the end. I'm not 100% sure. Show off your best Doctor Who cosplay outfits at the Doctor Who Festival Cosplay Showcase. Think your ultimate Doctor Who fan question mark. Test your Doctor Who knowledge in the Doctor Who Festival's specially themed fan challenges. Some of those I won't be able to do because I'll be busy queuing for photographs.
Yeah.
To be fair. I'd actually write down my photo schedule for the event, but I've since lost it. Hang on. I should sit down here. Nope, that's a piece of paper. So anyway, that's the Doctor Who Festival. Really looking forward to it. Magician's Apprentice broadcast update in United Kingdom.
Did we talk about the Underwater Menace last time?
Are you jumping? Because I hadn't got to that bit yet.
Okay. I don't know.
I don't know either. Anyway, Magician's Apprentice. Everybody else has got their, apart from New Zealand, India, Germany and Italy, have got their actually broadcast times, which is quite interesting. It's not confirmed when next week, although it would be, wouldn't it, by now, Debbie?
When does the Radio Times come out?
It's already out, so, you know.
Maybe this is just before they confirm the...
I haven't bought this one yet. I'm going to, because it's another one of those collector ones.
Yeah, the Underwater Menace DVD is coming out. It's going to be the last classic DVD release. Sad. But also, they didn't actually, at the initial sort of blurb about the fact they're releasing this story, mention anything about the non-existing episodes. So,
actually, they have.
Have they? The cat agrees with me again.
they're going to do them as reconstructions instead.
Oh, good.
Because apparently the company that they had contracted to do the animation went out of business.
Oh, okay.
And that's the reason it was delayed.
Well, still, that's something. I'd be disappointed if they didn't do something like that.
I mean, the great thing is that we're going to have a commentary that was recorded years ago.
Yeah. Also, the festival runs from the 13th to 15th of November. We're talking about the Doctor Who Festival. You asked the question, Kirby. 13th to 15th. I'm going on the 14th of November. Right then. New trailer came out for The Magician's Apprentice. That was on the 5th of February. September. February. Jumping ahead of myself there. There's a TARDIS sign up for auction. It's a genuine TARDIS door sign used during the filming of Series 5 of Doctor Who. And it's being auctioned for charity. Apparently it's on eBay, so you might have to search for that one. Probably going for a ridiculous amount of money. I wish they'd actually put the link on here, because I'd like to see what it's going for at the moment. But maybe I will do it, isn't it? Is there?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a link to eBay, isn't it?
But not eBay.
Yeah, but that's... Oh, is that one? I thought it'd just be a link, that would just be a link to eBay, not necessarily the item. Yeah, £361 at the moment. So, Kirby, if you want to submit a bid on that one. No, he's not.
I would have thought it would have been lighter than that.
Oh, not very good. BBC have released interviews with the main cast of the 2015 series of Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi, Jenna Coleman, Michelle Gomez, and
I didn't have a chance to watch those.
I haven't watched it either, so don't feel bad.
Me either.
Eve Miles and Kai Owen in Torchwood, Forgotten Lives. So that's obviously, is that a new audio that's coming out? Big Finish, yeah, new audio.
Yeah, Matthew was real excited about that because he posted it about 28 different places on Facebook yesterday.
Something all over the place, yeah.
And finally, Tom Baker has provided his distinctive voice of the TV advert for Doctor Who, The Complete Story, book series by Hatchett Partworks, what a strange name, launches tomorrow with volume 55, which covers Gridlock, Daleks in Manhattan, Evolution.
Today, what you're reading posted yesterday.
Issue 1 will be available in the British shops tomorrow at a special introductory price of
$1.99.
Oh, shut up, Kirby. When does this episode go out? It'll be in the past anyway. Tell him shut up, Debbie. So that's...
Have you all noticed that the trailers that they're showing for Magician's Apprentice
yes.
is almost exactly the same trailer that they've been showing, like, for the whole season. Yeah. So I think they just took the season episodes.
Series.
Know, series.
Shut
season,
up, Kirby.
Whatever. just for the first episode.
Thank you. Right. So that's essentially new. So we have sponsors.
Wait. Before you go on, I heard that the next season is going to be
series.
Like all
Shut
two
up.
Parters. Is that? Have you heard that too?
I heard there was a couple of two parters. I didn't know the whole thing was though.
No, the whole thing is not all two parters.
I was going to say I thought Moffat wanted to do away with mostly that side of things. So
there's going to be a lot of two parters, but
I think that would be good because I'm tired of them cramming like way too much into one episode.
Very good point,
yeah,
but also it could be bad.
With last series.
Also, it could be bad because you look at stories like the that one set on the island with the those creatures that would.
Oh,
mimic
yeah,
people.
Gangers,
yeah, that was terrible two-parter. But so it could be good, it could be bad. We'll wait and see.
Oh, yeah, that one was way too long.
Yeah.
They could have compressed that one, definitely, and expanded a couple of the others.
Indeed.
Right.
Anyway, whowon.co.uk.
Is that whowon.co.uk?
There's some products coming out. There's two
right
doctors.
Around the corner, isn't
there's a Dalek bowl coming. I'm going to pre-order that.
Okay. There's two doctors by Robert Holmes, audio CD, along with Curse of Fenric, written by Ian Briggs, no relation to Nicholas, friend of the show, sort of.
Dalek, Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah, Media Sphere. It's a Blake Seven story. Yep. Gods of Winter by James Goss, which is a 12th Doctor story. And the DWM 490 is still available with two people on the cover that I'm going to meet in November. Yeah, coming soon, as you said, we've got the Dalek Bowl. Mr. Haterhead. That's been out for a while.
You know, I've put that on my Christmas list.
Have you? Yes Men, which is a Doctor Who audio from Big Finish, which is essentially a second Doctor story. Apparently the chap that does the third Doctor in Big Finish is spot on with his voice, I've heard.
I haven't heard it yet, but yeah.
No, I'd like to hear and assess it myself, but I have heard from various factions that is actually the case. Yes?
I'm looking at the at Wikipedia, the Series 9 section, and it looks like they really may be doing all two-parters because the directors are always in doing two at a time.
Oh.
Penny MacDonald for Magician's Apprentice and Witches Familiar. The one we do not know the name of for episodes 3 and 4, Daniel O'Hara, Girl Who Died and Woman Who Lived, Invasion of the Zygons and Inversion of the Zygons. Then episodes 9 and 10 are directed by Justin Malotnikov, and episode 11 and 12 are directed by Rachel Talalay. So I believe that
does sound
that is correct.
Okay, well there you go. You heard it here first, possibly. Okay, well that'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Moving
and
on.
Knowing Stephen Moffat's penchant, they'll be radically different between the first part and the second part.
Also, the fact that there's 12 episodes this series. We forgot to mention the River Song is in the Christmas special.
Yes.
Now, that's not going to be a two-parter, by the way.
Hey, thank you. And I hope it is Alex Kingston playing River Song rather than Alex Kingston playing somebody else that the Doctor mistakes as River Song, because you never tell what Moffat's going to do.
Song.
Yes, I like River Song too. So I'm looking forward to that one, but let's get through the series first. Lavazzi.co.uk. We're talking about the gifts that Debbie's lined up for herself from Who Won, but there's also gifts for Christmas. Christmas is coming. We're in September at Lavazzi.co.uk. They expanded their Sherlock range.
Wrong thing.
What?
Wrong series.
They've expanded their Sherlock range, which is quite fab, if you like Sherlock, and I know Kirby does. I'm fairly Sherlock. Confident that...
you need to watch Sherlock.
Definitely.
The Vazi scarves will be available to buy at the
March
Doctor Who Festival.
March next door, Debbie, and force them to watch Sherlock.
I'll
March
you my
next
copies.
Door.
And Adam, I'll lend you my copies. Do you want?
You're going to lend my poppies?
Lend you copies. I've got my DVDs of Sherlock. Got them all.
Have you? Do you know what I forgot to do last week's episode? First time ever. On 270-odd episodes, what I forgot to do. What? Isabella's disclaimer at the end of the episode was not on it.
Oh my!
Had to happen at some stage, and it was last week. I'm surprised nobody noticed, but nobody probably obviously listens all the way through to the end of the show. I would advise listeners to listen all the way through to the end of the show, simply because occasionally I drop in the odd Easter egg. Not this week, but occasionally I do. Listen through the titles, the tune. It's a nice tune to listen to, isn't it, everybody?
It is a nice tune.
Yeah, so listen through the whole tune, and you might get something at the end of it. Won't be that exciting. I wish I've bigged it up now.
Yeah. Well done.
Right, you just got me on to thinking about eBay, so I am going to have a little peek at what's going on at eBay. Okay. The most expensive listed item on eBay this week is 2013 Doctor Who 50th Anniversary TARDIS Gold Proof Coin Box COA. Gold proof coin, issue 250, and the listed price with five COA, people watching but no bids. Address? Pardon?
COA? Change of address?
No, I think it's certificate of authenticity.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought they moved.
Hey?
Change of address.
Yeah, very good. And the price, eventually I'll get to spit it out.
It's 5:58 in the morning.
No, it's not. That's not the price. That's the time, Kirby. You're getting confused. The price is £2,799.95 with postage of 1999. And there's five people watching that, probably just to see how much it goes for, not necessarily bid for it. And the one underneath that is the BBC Doctor Who collector set, the 10th Doctor, 4th Doctor, £2,499. Why is that so expensive? Maybe because it's extremely rare, I don't know. Anyway, so that's it. No bids on any of those items. And it's always very difficult to scroll down through the pages to find the stuff that's actually got the bid against it. So I'm going to get Debbie in the meantime to have a look on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast Facebook group, which you can join, to see if anybody said anything interesting over the last few days.
Hang on. What's going on?
I can look too.
Ian sent his script for today, and he said that you welcomed last week John Archer, Mortimer Jones, and Ian McCann.
Yeah, which are the same people that are there this week.
Edward Owens posted some info about ConGT.
Yeah, has he posted a check to you so you can actually go to it?
No, not yet.
Has he posted a check so I can actually go to it?
I'm hoping you will, or you are actually coming.
I'm doing my best.
I noticed Kirby said to you last week, maybe we can provide funding, but didn't it suggest providing funding for me going over there? Now I know how everybody feels about me.
Let's make sure you're not making noises about wanting to.
Of course I want to go. Yeah. I just can't afford it, for God's sake. Americans.
I'm looking at it. I'm trying to.
Okay. Anyway, we have
the
something
with
bids against
it. The sooner you let us know that you're coming, the better, so that I can schedule you for
for a talk. Yeah, so you can be.
I noticed that Eddie's put the aerial picture up.
Yeah.
I've always said, Kirby, I'm quite happy to go to conventions, but if I have funding, I can't afford to go to them without funding. I'm a pauper, essentially. Anyway, can I get on? The most expensive listed item on eBay with bids against it is, is what we just mentioned, the TARDIS panel. £361. There you go.
Ooh. There's nothing on there for £5,000 this time.
Not with bids against it, no.
There's the 4th Doctor's scarves here for less than £20.
Is there? I sold one of them once. And the second highest listed item with bids against it is for £315. The Doctor Who Short Trips Big Finish Story Anthologies, Near Complete Collection. £315 with bids of that amount. So there you go, that's eBay, which is always quite an interesting subject, but obviously listeners can actually look themselves. But there you go. So, there's also, you know those little micro figures that I like so much? There's a rare one that's on there for £299.99. No bids, but it's the 11th Doctor holding handles.
Oh, cool.
Anyway, that's it then. So, as I say, we will return with a new series of reviews next time, and in a couple of months' time, the journey will continue as we see out.
We could start recording
as
later
we
this shush, morning.
As we see out, be quiet. As we see out the end of the William Hartnell era, and that's coming up towards Christmas. By the time we get into the new year, we'll be well into the Troughton era. I thought we'd actually get into Troughton comfortably before the
We would have. Halfway through the year. Had all these commitments that you kept pushing off.
Oh, shut up. I'm busy.
Right, Nan's so got to make a living.
Yeah, thank you, Mary. Right, I guess give a point to Mary. Anyway, until then, thank you for listening to the show. Thank you for sticking with us and putting up with these inconsistencies. And hopefully we'll be a bit more consistent over the next 12 weeks or so. Until then, and we'll have some more presenters. I'd like to try and persuade Ben to come back on, but he probably won't because we'll be recording on the day he doesn't like to record on. So there you go. Until then, thank you for listening to the show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye, fancy pants.
Doctor Who podcast is an APB Services production and a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the BBC. No copyright infringement intended.